Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I gotta say, too, I was so fired up about soccer last night that I've been... Normally, I try to not tweet.
No. I was tweeting after Storm.
We were both doing some sneaky tweeting. Like, I was tweeting on the side, just little angry
couple
tweets.
Tweets.
Yeah, the boys.
The one that just drove me the most crazy was when there was clearly a foul on the edge of the box. Again, Schauffelberg.
Yeah,
clearly gets hacked down, leg between his legs, falls down. It looked like it could have been a penalty,
that
but it wasn't.
That ref was awful.
But that's what drove me crazy. I hate that.
Yeah.
And so you only see it in soccer. You never see this in any other sport. Once in a while in hockey, but very rarely. The ref should never be the maddest guy on the field.
No, dude, he was outrageous.
He was, like, screaming in their face. It's like, have a little bit of composure. No. It was insane.
I swear to God, that guy was against Canada.
Oh, yeah. That's all I could
feel. Hey, listen, this is a great way for us to pivot into Leafs talk. We never do ref talk.
Shocker.
Yeah, we don't do.
Oh, they want Argentina to win the Copa again. Yeah. They want the Golden Boys to win again. What a surprise.
You and I are not ones to do ref talk and really ever complain about the refs, but that guy was beyond awful.
No, he was awful.
I hated him.
Awful.
But yeah, I was sneaking doing some tweets being like, eight beers.
Eight goddamn whiskey sours.
I was like, I hate Argentina. That was the whole tweet. So I was doing some sneaky tweeting. Off to the side. Follow me on Twitter at JD Buckus and on Instagram at JD Buckus. That's Sammy McKee. Okay, so the Oilers play tonight.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
I know.
Can't wait.
This is as good as it gets.
This is
as good as it gets. Connor McDavid, truly, I think. Okay, what do you actually think about this take? Because I was going to do Leafs first, but no, let's do Little Oilers. This actually feels like it could be the most important cup in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Just given that McDavid's down three games in a series, mm-hmm. and now he's putting his team on his back. He's already got one Gretzky record. He could easily grab two Gretzky records. He could have the most points ever in a playoff run. Being down three games to nothing and then basically storming back and dominating, I think out of all the most memorable cups that I will ever have, most memorable performances, given who he is in the game, where he's at in his career, where this series was at, how much respect I have for the Panthers, the guy whose record he's breaking, this might be the most impressive Stanley Cup if he's able to win it.
I think there's definitely a conversation for this being the biggest accomplishment in the history of the game if he comes back and does it.
Like,
it's just because it's all him.
What's the case against?
You go down 0-3 and he has 8 points in game four and game five combined. It's just, it's otherworldly stuff. You know, Kipper said it best a couple days ago that everyone seems to be getting slower, and he's just getting faster.
Dude, I thought the same thing in that last game. I went, he looks fresh.
Yeah.
He looks like
But that's a credit. Like, people, you know, he's always in the gym. He's a mutant, mm-hmm. and people have gotten on him for being so driven and so, like, how he doesn't care about anything else, and he's in the gym so much, and he had that injury early in the year, and people were wondering, like, you know, you got to take a couple days off here and there. It was like a tweak or whatever.
No.
But this is why you do it. Because you get to this point, and he's clearly got all the God-given talent in the world. No question. He's touched, you know, he's the Messi of hockey. He's touched.
Yeah, but he plays so hard.
But the thing is, it's the commitment to the game and the dog in him and the just, like, the killer instinct.
Yep.
You just can't teach that.
Man, this is going to be a comparison that pisses people off, but I once heard we'll never see Michael Jordan again because we're never going to get the greatest athlete on earth, the most talented guy in the number one competitor's brain, with the number one competitor brain, all those things combined. I think the reason that people gravitate so much to Kobe Bryant is a very similar thing where you go, like, this is not just the best of the best. Mm-hmm. This is not just one of the greatest players ever. He cares the most. He cares more than everybody else. And that's what you want from your athletes, right?
Him and McKinnon are like the two, like, one and two competitive
nature
guys.
But that's
what
I'm saying is I think McDavid is the top dog for caring and playing hard and never, like, taking shifts off.
No.
He cheats every once in a while. Like, you know,
but he's also the sickest guy in the league. He gets to do it.
But that's it. He plays hard and he's nasty and he's at the podium going, hey, I want you to doubt us again. Oh, we're going to drag him back to Alberta. Like,
and the beard right now?
That's it. No.
He just looks amazing.
It's Michael Jordan-esque right now, what he's doing, which is that best athlete on the planet, or at least best hockey player athlete on the planet, with number one competitor. What a just delight. What a treat to watch him. Yeah. And that's the one thing I'll say to Leaf fans right now that are rooting against Edmonton. I get it, because the closer they get to this, the more I'm like, holy crap, this would be an all-time win for Edmonton, and this is like the Canadian thing. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to root for him.
Well,
it's hard not to just go, I respect you so much that I'm certainly not going to be heartbroken about an Edmonton Stanley Cup. I've already said I think the Alberta teams are straight up different to me in terms of the way I perceive the other Canadian teams. Like if Vancouver was going to win or Montreal was going to win, I wouldn't care if they had the best player on earth. Mm-hmm. There is something a little bit different about Edmonton, and I'll throw Winnipeg in there too in Calgary. But man, oh man, oh man, he is just I've never seen anything like this. This is what it must have felt like to watch Bobby Orr. Like when you're like, oh, whoa, what the hell is this? That's how I feel watching him play in playoff games.
So I said yesterday, and I'll do it a little bit again here, that I have been rooting against them the whole way through. And because I think they're Canada's best chance here, obviously.
That's not what you've been texting me.
But no, I've been rooting against them. I have been. Like I
you literally were texting me the other night being like, I'm heartbroken, the Oilers lost.
No, I'm back and forth. Listen, I'm back. I don't love the Oilers.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm back and forth because as a Leaf fan, as a guy who
I'm the same way.
Always said that the only way I want the cup back
for sure
in Canada is down Yonge Street. Like there's no way I want another team to have this. But there reaches a certain point where you just have to be able to say you witnessed something like this.
Yeah, that's it. He has entered this Sid is like, territory.
This
where
is 23
just,
Tom Brady comeback. Yeah. This is LeBron against the Warriors comeback. This is like Red Sox coming back on the Yankees 3-0. Like this is an all-time moment that we're witnessing here. And it's one singular guy who's orchestrating it. Like there's been other contributions. Connor Brown getting the shorty. Skinner making some big saves. Like their bottom six has been contributing
two
more.
Two shorties in a row.
They've been great. There's been other guys who are contributing. But the main guy who's stirring the drink and the play he makes on the Corey Perry one, and Sportsnet put out a video with like this piano music under it and him going slow motion.
Oh, no, I'll cry.
It's poetry in motion. It's the most beautiful thing you'll ever see. I love Connor McDavid.
Splitting those guys.
That's how much I love this guy, is that I'm willing to put aside my extreme biases where I don't want another Canadian team to win it. This man deserves it. Give him, crown him. Crown him. Let him have it. It's time. It's time. And if they don't even, he's going to get the Conn Smythe. He's going to get, no matter what happens tonight, he's getting the Conn Smythe. Yeah. He's going to throw it into the crowd like Elias Pettersson did with his silver medal at the World Juniors. Everyone killed him. He's just going to throw the Conn Smythe into the crowd. He's not going to want it. Like, that's a tough one to lose. But I don't know, man. I think
he would, that's his actual nightmare.
Yeah, for sure.
He does not want to win the Conn Smythe. No. I'm like, if you're a voter and you actually care about Connor McDavid,
don't vote
and they lose this
vote
game,
for Bobrovsky,
or they lose the next one, do not vote for him.
I know.
The anger that will be in that man's eyes accepting
and
that
him,
award.
Him doing the media afterwards and like, what's it mean to you? And he's going to be like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I
nothing.
Don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care.
And he'll mean it.
Yeah.
That guy will mean it in the, don't let him, RIP Jerry West, don't let him become Jerry West.
Honestly.
Don't let this be a thing.
So the last thing I'll say quickly here on McDavid.
Are you a vote for the losing guy, though? No. I'm a generally never give it to a losing guy,
there's only two instances where I ever thought it should have gone to the losing team, and one of them had happened with J.A. Chiguerre because I've never seen a better performance from a singular player, honestly, a goalie.
I thought LeBron could have got it.
That was the other one. Yeah. That's the one where it didn't get it, when Iguodala got it.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he guarded him. He's like, didn't he have 35, 10, and 10?
No.
Like,
there's a few things that history would like to have back when it comes to Super Bowl MVPs or any of those.
That might be number one on the list.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
That's got to be Andre Iguodala being finals MVP looking back on it.
Guarded him so well.
Insane.
Triple double average.
Insane that one ended up having.
The McDavid thing. This is something that Jason Gregor brought up on our show the other day, and he's got a really good shot to get to 2,000 points as the second guy ever to get to 2,000 points.
Yeah.
It's something I hadn't considered, but he's almost at 1,000 in 620 games.
Oh, do it again.
He's on track to truly be like close to the GOAT, one of the best of all time. And he needs to get his cup. He needs to get one cup. And it's like, I think it's different when you say, like, guys have multiple cups in different eras, right? Where you look back in those Oilers cups and it's like they have five cups or six cups or whatever. But I think one is probably equivalent to like one and a half or two cups back then, one now, because the league's so deep, it's so competitive. He needs to get this one because you never know how close you're going to get again.
That's why I'm saying this is the most meaningful cup.
You have to get this one.
This is why I look at it and go, this would be number one. The fact that you're in a Canadian market with all the pressure in the world. You're the number one player on the planet with all the pressure in the world. You're down three games.
We talked about pressure yesterday.
Break the Gretzky record.
He doesn't feel it. He levitates above it. He's too good.
But then also to be in the salary cap era where you've got $5-plus million tied into a goaltender that's not even on the bench and a defenseman that's making 9.5 sheets that
and Connor
is a
Brown's
minus
contract
100.
That's making – it's crazy.
The fact that you're able to just go, yep, who cares? And also, and again, because this is a, you know, Leafs, we're in Toronto.
Yeah.
Another reminder of when you cry about, oh, well, this guy's making a million much, and this guy's doing that, and that's why Marner and Matthews can't win is because Tavares makes Is Tavares making $5.5 million too much?
No.
Like?
Probably three.
Sure.
Three tops.
Just saying.
Get you a Connor Brown.
$5.5 million for their goalie who doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Who's off the they literally have the handicap where it's like, hey, we gave you a handicap of minus $5.5 million off the cap.
Well, no,
because you get Connor McDavid.
Well, he would have gone down, so they would get a bit of relief. I think
it's sure,
like
whatever it is. It's just like, hey.
I know the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're with the scratch golfer.
Honestly, that's it.
You got to have the handicap. Yeah. And he's like, don't worry, I'll still be in the cup.
They're giving strokes.
Yeah, exactly.
They're giving strokes.
That's
they're in game six.
Yeah, just
it's
like,
crazy.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay, Leafs.
Crazy.
I actually think that this run with the Oilers has been even more of a wake-up call of what the Leafs don't have and even more of an argument to not bring it back because they just don't have this. They don't have the juice of a McDavid. It's kind of... again, Matthews was hurt, and he had his awesome game, too, and I do think that he's going to be able to find...
Such an embarrassing thing to say.
I know, but I'm just saying...
You're right.
I'm just saying that it's crazy.
He had the game, too, in the first round.
For sure, but I'm just saying at least it was a real sign of encouragement before he did get injured, so I'm giving him the caveats.
Yes,
but
good.
I don't know how you could have a pulse and watch the Leafs these past 8 years and go, oh, well, they've got some of this juice. Like, no, they don't have that... extra it factor of the McDavid of, oh, I can't wait for you to doubt me again. When the Leafs get doubted, they're like, I can't believe you doubted us again. The media mentioned it, the players and the fans, they hate us.
The puck didn't go in. We had some good looks.
We had bounces. It's like they're a loser mentality squad. And the core four has been built on this, and we've known it for quite some time. And the more I watch the Oilers, the more becoming almost apathetic about the potential for this to roll over and watch the core four again for another regular season. Like, I think that this is somehow making it worse that the Oilers are doing this. And yet we're a couple weeks away now from free agency. We're a week away from the draft. The draft's next Friday.
Yeah, they're actually having the draft in the third period of Game 7.
It's so late. Yeah, but I love the condensed schedule. I love how it just goes like bang, bang, bang.
But that should have happened like a month ago.
Sure. How are you, like, what is your level of optimism right now that something's going to change? Because I saw Kipper's report where they're like, whoa, Leafs might like Jake DeBrusk. And I went, this is the capital of the others, right? Because you and I always talk about the outside of the core. What are they sticking on and going, oh, and ooh, it's a big guy who is a good transition player. And that's what the Leafs need. And you go, no, what the Leafs need is not the same four guys to be coming back and playing for this team again.
I really... want to say that I just have no idea. I really don't know which way they're going to go because the smoke screens are output.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing the extent, I guess.
No, but the Marner camp stuff is real.
But I know, but I saw the tweet about Biz saying that they're looking at an extension. You know, Dragger's talking about an extension. They're talking about trades. They're talking about, I don't know what to believe. And I can't really believe that Brad Treliving is thinking about extending Mitch Marner in this market. Because, sure, you can have the conversations about knocking on the door a million times, and one of these times you finally break through. But they've just never shown any ability to do it outside of 1 year where they made it to the second round and won one game in the second round. Like, he's the obvious one to trade. Obviously, we've been talking about it forever. But I can't believe that they would come back with him. Or the other scenario is bring him back, not sign him, and then let him walk to UFA. That's a franchise ruiner. You can't do that. You can't let him go for nothing. They're in a really tough spot with him. I don't really know how this is going to play out.
I want the extension.
You want the extension.
Here's why. You got to give him the extension, but you can't give him any no move.
Okay, well, he's not going to do it.
Well, then...
end of story.
Okay, well, then that's the way it is. But that is the crucial point for tree living and the hardball. And if you're Mitch Marner too, that's actually a way for the fans to not despise you. Because I do think that it's very much like we get a little too granular with it at times where we're online and we live in media and we think about the way Marner's perceived. And ultimately, this is a multimillionaire who's spending his time golfing and in Muskoka and traveling around. He's with his close family and friends. And when he's at the game and he's at the arena and he scores a goal, the fans still cheer. They're not going to boo him.
Yeah.
When he goes to the youth night, most of the kids are still wearing Marner jerseys, right? I don't think he's going to feel it. He might feel it more than some other guys because I think he and his camp are more online.
They seek it out.
Yeah, exactly. They're always looking for it. Like I said, they'll be listening to this right now. Like,
absolutely.
There's just no doubt about it. They listen to every single thing. They're taking it all in. There's somebody within the group that clocks it all, that is basically
keeping receipts.
They keep all the receipts. If I'm him, that's what I would go for is, okay, so I can get the most money here, right? Because that extension, you can still get the most the most years. So you're still given that extra year, but your one capitulation, if your Mitch is going, hey, man, we know you can't take like a massive haircut on the money. We know you're going to get the William Nylander contract, essentially. Like, that's going to happen. So why not get that here? Why not get financially secured? Why not get the opportunity to rehabilitate your image here in Toronto and play out that 1 year? And then if it doesn't work again, we're going to hold the cards in terms of what your future might be. That's, to me, at this point, the best case scenario, because the pie in the sky stuff about trading him to Vegas just doesn't sit right with me. There's two reasons. One, it just feels so much like, well, Vegas is the natural suitor for anybody that's like a depreciated asset.
They're the depressed asset killers where they find him and they turn out to be studs.
They're like the Lakers in terms of trade rumors where everyone's always rumored to go to the Lakers. And it's like, oh, Lakers are going to trade for this guy. Lakers are going to trade for every single player who ever played. Vegas is now kind of becoming that for hockey. So I do wonder if it's a little bit of that and a little bit of that team being like, no, 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 we would actually do this. Of course, we would try to turn a couple of pending free agent defensemen into Mitch Marner on an extension. And of course, this is going to work out for us. But even when I see those Marner trades, I look at some of them and I go, all right, shit, they don't like good player, good defenseman, getting a pending UFA D-man who is, you're still losing that Marner trade.
Yeah.
And doing it under the gun, doing it with him having all the control, it's just hard for me to imagine the Leafs doing it. And I don't want to see Mitch Marner play for the Toronto Maple Leafs anymore. I think that he's gotten a bit of a raw deal in terms of he takes more heat than any other Leaf. It's because he's the last guy to sign the contract. It's because his last contract was so aggressively bad in the way that their camp handled it and all of it. Like, there's a million reasons to be upset with Marner, but I do know that it's my dumb sports fan brain that is going like, just make the trade, just make the trade, trade.
You've had the sober second thoughts though, because we've had these conversations multiple times where you've been like, I don't care if they lose the trade. I don't care if
but
they lose the trade.
Because I've always thought they were going to lose the trade.
They have to look different.
This is the thing about losing the trade that has always bothered me. I can't stand the framework of, well, you're going to lose the trade. So again, okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's other ways to win it, which is the goal is not to just lose the trade and then be a worse hockey team and then never get to where you are.
Well, the cap space that you would get from one of these trades
is
a massive asset.
That's
where you can move something else out.
That's it, is try to get creative. And I do think that there is a loser mentality in that room. They always talk about how great it is and how they love each other and that they believe in one another. But ultimately, I think that it's the same thing where you've experienced the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. You start to expect that. You start to manifest it. And I don't think that these guys have that dog in them. I don't think that they have that gear to kick in and go, this time it's going to be different. They've been given that in ample opportunity over and over and over again, and they've gotten through one playoff round. I've seen enough.
One of the things that really jumped out to me, and I know it's Ryan Reeves, I know it's a free agent signing last year, but in his first like a Zoom availability, I remember he's sitting on his patio and he was talking and he said, I've heard it's a quiet room.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a quiet room is honestly that you might as well, that's the most offensive thing you could say about any hockey locker room is I've heard it's a quiet room. And that tells you a lot about the way it is. And I know Ryan Reeves is the kind of guy he is, but like there's a perception people talk. The extension thing, I think I like the premise of what you're saying in terms of playing out next year on your original contract and then having your next one kick in with the no movement clause. I think that idea is great.
But there's just no chance.
David Kampf got a no move clause. Like there's just no way that
Mitch Marner's camp, Darren Ferris, everybody involved. If they're signing an extension in Toronto, they're going to want the guarantee of controlling where they were.
Yeah, every but that's single it. Person, you give them the limited no-move clause. That's the capitulation that you make.
Every single guy that's ever signed a contract here has gotten their cake and eaten it too, and I don't see the number one cake and eat it too guy ever signing a contract that doesn't have a no-move clause on it, even if it's limited.
Because the number one cake and eat it too guy does understand the way the market feels about him.
For sure.
And has to understand that if he extends in Toronto, Mitch Marner, no full no move, 11 sheets a year.
No, it's
8 years.
The vitriol is going to be brutal.
He'll probably be, I'm trying to think about like the least popular athletes that have ever been in this city. He's going to be one of them amongst a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. He is just always going to have the target on his back the rest of his career here. And let's be honest, I think that he's proven that he is not the kind of guy that deals well with added pressure. He's not McDavid.
No.
He's not like, sure, bring it on, world, and then he'll just take care of business. No. He is the type of guy, and which is so weird about his group's lack of desire to go try somewhere else too, because you would think, hey, man, ultimately it's one thing for the people around you to be saying something, but for you personally, like, wouldn't you love to go play in Los Angeles and be on the beach and have
playing in Toronto's probably pretty sick, you know?
Yeah, but I'm just saying
it's
that.
It's where he's from. It's where, like,
but you don't you want to be liked? Don't you want to go somewhere and have people root you on and have them really care about you and not have to deal with this, have to deal with you and I breaking down this anyway?
I know if it was me, I'd want to get the hell out of here. But these guys are, you know, they're uber competitive. They want to prove people wrong. No, that's a huge part of it.
You're right. I think that's too much of like, we'll show you. And
that's what it is.
And then they're like, but they go, we'll show you. And then they never do.
And then it's like, here's nothing.
Here's nothing. And then they're like, well, it was your fault, media and fans. Yeah. Like, you put too much. And we had our chances. And, oh, that's the narratives that you guys want to craft about our room. But we know different.
I do think that if there's a world, which this world does not exist, that if he signs a somewhat team-friendly contract.
No, because he'd have to take less than what he's making now.
No, if he took exactly what he's making now or a little bit more and didn't have a no-move clause.
Hey, guess what? I'll tell you this right
now.
Never
happening.
I do not want him at what he's making now.
Yeah, I think that's... I think
on
the cap,
even the cap,
with the cap going up. No, that's not right.
He's
close to 100-point winger who plays Selke-level defense.
Yep, kills in the regular season.
For sure. But he's still got to get to the playoffs. Dude, he's an $11 million player. He is
the consummate regular season player. He is could not be any different than Johnny Gaudreau. Same things.
No, that's wrong. He's better
same
than Johnny
Gaudreau. No, I'm just saying that Johnny Gaudreau had the same stuff where it was like, oh, man, this guy's lights out. You got to pay this guy. Can't lose this guy in a trade. You watched him in the playoffs when he was up against McDavid in a big moment. You went, where is he? Mm-hmm. What line is he on? What number does he wear? And I feel the same way with Mitch Marner. Even this playoffs, there was nothing more Mitch Marner than having his spectacular goal when all the pressure was off and they're down and the game is essentially over. And he's like, look at this, highlight reel.
How about through the legs, backhand on one knee?
Sick, man.
It was a sick goal, though.
Yeah, great.
Probably the nicest goal of his career.
Do it when it's 1-0.
I know.
Like, do what Connor Brown has done.
I know.
You know, like, go do that.
Ultimately, like, at the end of the day here, it's training camp. It's September. We're starting up. Is he a Toronto Maple Leaf?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Here's who I think are the Toronto Maple Leafs to start training camp.
All of them.
Yeah. And welcome.
Everyone.
And get ready to learn Jake DeBrusque is bringing a new... Jake DeBrusque, having been on the Bruins, knows what kind of an element. It's like, wait,
Leaf
didn't
killer,
he get that with Bertuzzi?
Leaf killer comes here
and
doesn't kill anyone.
And I actually like DeBrusque.
Me too.
Like, I really do think that would be a good signing for this team.
Me too.
I'm very not opposed to it. It's just, like, this is the same thing. Bertuzzi, DeBrusque, I don't care. Bunting, all of the guys that are around the core.
It doesn't matter.
It's not going to drive the bus.
How many times can you do it? 9 times?
Yeah, I know.
Where you paper new guys to the core and have it work and not work? It's just.
And then there's this thing, too, which is, and I actually said this ahead of the Nylander thing, which is eventually they're going to go into this season, and then Tavares is going to be in a UFA. And they're probably going to play real hardball with him because he's going to have far less options. And he does have a young family here.
Yeah.
He wanted to be here. And if you're talking about like actual legacy rehabilitation stuff for Tavares, I think for him, especially as he gets later in his career wanting to win, he will have a bunch of competing interests that will work well for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is, hey, dude, You can still make millions of dollars. You're already rich. You can stay here planted in Toronto, and people are going to love you for taking a huge haircut, much like the other guys that have done it, the Spezzes, the Giordanos. Of course, he's different because he's going to be more valuable than them hitting free agency. But if you recall, Gio left a couple million dollars a year on the table when he did it. And I think he was, no, it was Spezza that had the quote of, if I could have taken less, I would have. Right? Or was it Giordano? It was one of those two guys.
He's actually like, I would take it less just so I can be with Kyle Dubas. That's all I can. Yeah. Kyle Dubas' best friend.
He's an intern, actually, in Pittsburgh. He's unpaid. It's just like, oh, Kyle, you're the
love you,
best.
Kyle.
You're the coolest guy.
I actually, when that happened, I was like, please get the Men in Black stick so I can remember. I don't want to have the memories of me liking Jason Spezza.
I don't even want to. It just reminded me that I probably have a million I Love Spezza tweets out there.
I'm going to go delete them. I'm doing that right now.
I think I have like a Spezza Leafs Road tweet, I'm sure. Anyway, I think that you're going to have this whole idea of, well, don't worry, Tavares is going to be off the books next year and you're going to save so much money because you're going to bring him back at $5 million less.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just feel like, what, it's a punt season? It's a get to Tavares' end of his contract season?
Well, that's a part of, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be the same thing. A part of it that, you know, trading Marner to have different cap space and then having Tavares off the books the following season, that's another really scary outcome too. By the way, I'm just looking at your tweets with Spezza.
Don't read them.
Oof. You got to get to delete and pal.
Buddy, I loved them.
Delete.
He was awesome for us.
I mean, he was honestly the only one who cared.
Can I tell you something too, though? As a guy who lived in Ottawa during the peak of the rivalry, it was also so nice to try to be like, he's our favorite player to Sens fans.
Some of
those tweets.
He never loved being a Sen like he loved being a Leaf.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. So some of those tweets are done with the direct purpose of
triggering Sens fans.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll do a little pod only on Markstrom because we got to do a couple minutes on this. So subscribe to the podcast, leave 5 stars, and we'll talk about the goalies on the other side. Okay, podcast only. Yeah, we're starting. Yeah, leave that now, dude. No, he's rolling.
He's rolling?
He's rolling, but he's going on peeing, yeah.
Okay.
Buddy, I swear to God.
He's rolling?
I'm telling you, I truly believe this take. Mm. From having hired a bunch of Gen Z guys, worst bladders in the league. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm pretty bad too.
They have one coffee, and they'll be in and out of here like they're scurrying out.
I had a liter of water this morning plus a coffee, and I have only peed once. So
I'm
nuts. A camel.
Yeah.
I am trending towards having to pee right now, but I can wait. Listen, I'm an adult.
That's it. Yes. I'm telling you, these guys are like little.
I have to pee.
You know when you see little kids grabbing their junk and they're like, yeah, and then you're like, do you have to pee? And they're like, no, and you're like, yeah, you do. Let's go pee. That's them all the time. They're constantly just, I have to pee.
You could say they are piss babies.
Yeah, they are. Sorry, Gen Z. I know some of you listen to Leafs Talk and some of you listen to the JD Books. I actually have kids reach out every once in a while.
There's nothing more exciting than when a young person comes up to me.
Yeah, when they're
like,
hey, I really enjoy this. I'm like, nice.
Thank you.
Sports is in your hands.
Youth.
You're the torchbearers.
Yes.
We're handing it over to you.
Carry the sports, youth.
Don't ruin it. I'm very much in like a worried about ruining it stuff too. Like I saw, as a quick side tangent, but I saw Bill Simmons made a joke about how he wants the Celtics to kidnap LeBron James' son, where they like draft him because they're like, oh, hold him hostage. And it's clearly a joke on the podcast, and it got plastered everywhere all over the internet. Like, Bill Simmons says hostage.
Oh, my God.
I went, this is where we're at with sports. Yeah. And all the websites.
I missed that.
Yeah,
when was that?
It was this morning. I woke up, I was scrolling Twitter.
Oh,
I was looking at, and I heard that pod, and I went,
haha, that's
are you
funny.
Kidding? Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of a funny thing.
It is.
And there's a movie that was when we were growing up called Celtic Pride, which was with, I think, Dan Aykroyd. I can't remember who's in it, but they actually kidnapped the Utah Jazz star player for the NBA championships against Boston. Yeah.
I've never even heard of
that. It's an old school 90s comedy movie.
Watch that.
And I think it's Damon Wayans.
Really?
He's the star, yeah. And anyway, it's just, I went, this is nuts. Anyways.
I know this is a side tangent, but draft Bronny Raptors. Absolutely. Be the Bronny.
I couldn't
team.
Be more against drafting Bronny.
No, draft the hell out of him. We suck anyway.
I just
bring on Bronny.
I couldn't be more against it.
Maybe he'll sign here.
I just
if it meant LeBron signs with the Raptors next year, you're not drafting Bronny.
No, but that's not going to happen.
Why not?
No, he'll force the trade out. I'm saying, like, he's not going to play. He's not going to sign a two-way contract. So all the media attention around it would just be, no, it'd be too much. I don't want to do Bronny talk every week on the show next year. And guess what? Now it's
happening. As a hockey show?
No. I guess what?
I don't
now
care.
I've just you're welcome, anyone who wanted Bronny in Toronto, because I literally just made it happen. I just locked it in. Anyways, back to Leafs talk. Leafs talk. So I wanted to do the goalie thing because, yeah, we talked a little bit about DeBrusque. We talked a little bit about Marner. But I was never really a Markstrom guy. Mm. Let me lay it out for you this way. I really do believe in Joe Woll.
No.
And I know he's injury prone.
Disagree.
But I believe in who he is as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been more of a, hey, bring in a really quality backup that if you need to can eat a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find this year's version again of Martin Jones. Maybe that's Hildeby. As a guy who can give you a runway and actually give you some time in the net. Have a little bit of depth at the position. But really hope that this guy is going to carry the mail for you. Because I really believe that when he's at his best, he is awesome. I've seen it. I've seen the flashes of it. I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the injury track record at this point, like, he just doesn't play games, man. It's 4 years of this where he's proven he gets hurt all the time. He got hurt again in the playoffs this year, making what is ultimately like a pretty routine save. That's two injuries this year on routine saves.
The routine save, the first one was a flutter puck off the half boards.
Exactly.
And you're right. Ankle exploded.
It wasn't even a save. But when I saw the price for Markstrom and the fact that Calgary retained.
Yeah. Books was on Real Kipper and Bourne yesterday beside himself about he said that he scouted Kevin Ball for 8 years, knows the player well, says he's a third pairing guy, says that they didn't eat money. Conroy got fleeced. Like, that is an absolute fleece. And the fact that they're paying Markstrom, what is it, $4.5 million next year for 2 years? They have Jake Allen and, like, that's the best, one of the best goalie tandems that you can have.
Yeah, I just think that one was a blown opportunity. Now it actually puts more pressure on Tree to get something done. Now, because my brain feels, again, really stupid going, okay, wait. So would you have rather have traded the pick and had Markstrom and at salary retention and have a duo of Markstrom and Woll?
Yes.
Or keep your pick and have Brossois and Woll? And
well,
I mean,
my whole take on this. I'm sick of the lottery tickets since Freddie left. And Freddie was, you know,
Brossois is just another, like, Mrazek-esque level guy. I do like Brossois more. And I think that him, if he goes at $2 million, is actually like a fine and very good contract. But yeah, it's a little scary.
You're going to want, it's going to be great when Joe Wall's your starting goalie. And then by American Thanksgiving, it's Brossois and Hildeby for the next 3 months of the season.
Ugh.
Are you looking forward to that?
No.
Brossois
Hildeby is going to be the...
Since Freddie left, and you know my thoughts on Freddie, can't stand him, but he was a legitimate NHL goalie. They played too much in the regular season. They always broke him down. They always did.
Yeah.
But he was a legit NHL goalie.
They were like, we love this car. We're driving it every day, and doing it in city traffic.
Since he left, it's been lottery tickets, and they've been papering this stuff to Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner's core. The core's prime. They've been taping these lottery ticket goalies to it. Samsonov, who I know you love, had his moments, was good in the first round last year, but ultimately not good enough. Jack Campbell, not good enough. Mrazek, not good enough. Just all these guys in these playoff series have always been the second best goalie. And it's just, you have to go out there and find a real goalie. Even if it's, I know, like, Soros, people are like, oh, he's a small guy.
Soros is the man.
But even if it's him for the 1 year and you see what Woll can do with a real starter in front of him, and maybe he's healthier, maybe he outplays Soros, and maybe he's... But, like, just going into the season next year with Woll and Anthony Stolarz or Brossois, with another year gone of Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander's prime, is a terrifying thing. You've tried all these different goalies. Go get a real goalie. And to me, Markstrom was a perfect fit. He's 34 years old. He's got 2 years left on his contract. It's a perfect thing to pair with Woll.
I think he would have looked good in the colors,
Would have looked good in the colors. Always great gear. Yeah. Always excellent
nice
setup.
That's what I mean. I think the setup, you would have looked at it and been like, nasty.
And now he goes to New
Not
Jersey.
Not nice to me, by the way.
Now he goes to New Jersey, where our boy Sheldon Keefe is walking into one of the best situations in the league, and he's going to get a really good team. 110-point team a year before last.
I was going to say, I almost bottom to dollar, bet you bottom dollar that New Jersey's going to have a better year than Toronto next year.
Oh, there's no question. So, yes. And I said this yesterday on Kipper Bourne, I'll say it to you. Uh-huh. Leafs are going to take a step back. They're going to be the seven seed, and they're going to be a wild card team. They're going to play the Devils in the first round. They're going to lose to Sheldon Keefe and the Devils in the first round of the playoffs next year.
Would you rather lose to Boston again or to Sheldon Keefe?
Boston again, 10 times out of 10.
No, I'd rather
Boston. Lose to sign me up for Boston. I can deal with that pain. I don't want new pain. No, like, I just rip off that old scab. No, don't cut me again.
No, I've genuinely reached my limit of losing to Boston.
Nah,
I swear. I've reached
my... Did you see that Sportsnet stats? Who's the Sportsnet stats guy?
I don't...
They hate Toronto Sports.
No, I know.
Like, I love it because I use their stats all the time.
No, it's just that they know.
They're like, 20 straight losses to Boston teams for Toronto Sports. No, I'm like,
they just know.
Come on!
They know.
I know.
What gets the people going.
I know. Sportsnet stats, I love you.
I just can't do any more Boston losses. I would take New Jersey 10 times out of 10. I just to have them to beat. I actually think that this is so sad. I think beating Boston is like if the Leafs beat the Bruins, that's the closest thing to any of the teams winning a championship. it's like obviously Raptors, Leafs, Jays, championships, yes. Argos matter the most to me. After those things. Beat the Bruins in a playoff series, I'd like hang a banner in my office.
Imagine, you know, Leaf X in the first round this year fired one in overtime game 7. How the conversations would be different. Maybe not, because they probably would have got wallpapered by Florida and it wouldn't have mattered, but just how fun that would have been finally slayed the dragon. It's like,
it felt so good. It would feel so good.
Have a parade for that.
Yeah, I know. Like, honestly. Beat Boston parade,
honestly.
Anyway, I think I'm with you, though, just the price for Markstrom. Here's my only Soros thought, because I'm a Soros guy. I love Soros.
Love him.
But I'm making too many cross-sport references today, we now know that small point guards don't age well, right? Mm-hmm. It's my Kyrie thing of why I think that the Mavericks window is closing. It's going to close real fast is even for a guy that can make all the shots, you lose a little bit of a step. We saw it with Chris Paul.
Always broke down every playoff.
It's just, we've seen it, frankly, in this market with Kyle Lowry. Like Kyle Lowry, when you had a tandem of him and DeRozan, the guys that are the sub 6'4 guards come NBA playoff time, especially as they age, is not really a history of them having success. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that looks like for a sub 6 foot goalie as he enters his 30s and he maybe loses a step. I don't think that it's going to be like immediate, but you look at Bobrovsky, for example, and how people went, oh, the contract's so bad and he's aged poorly into this deal. And then he finally comes back and he's amazing. Mm-hmm. He's also a monster.
No, he's big.
Like he's a huge dude.
Yeah.
When you lose in that step and you still have
big
at least
athletic,
that side,
like
you can still make up for some of it. And so I just feel like maybe the margin for error. This is just a dumb guy talking.
No, but you're right. But the thing that to me is the most enticing thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're year to year here in this Leafs run. Like this is a year to year thing, and the fact that he's got 1 year left on his contract. If he comes in next year and he's showing more signs
of
breaking down,
I just don't know why they would give him up.
Because they have their number one prospect outside of the NHL is Askarov. They took him 11th overall. Yeah. He had an unbelievable season with the Admirals this year. He's the next one. He's going to get called up. Eventually, there's going to be a goalie controversy. They're not going to pay an aging goalie that money when they have that guy in the minors. I really do believe that they're going to think about moving Soros if they can get a good package for him.
I think there's a possibility of it. Here's just my only case against is that Nashville loves to compete. That's one of their things.
For sure.
Like they're not a team that goes into rebuild mode.
I give them full credit because they're always plucky. They're always competitive. They always make the playoffs. They're a good team.
Is part of the like Poyle.
Yes.
Like, remaining leftover, legacy of
and
the Nashville
Predators. And the Trots will be the exact same way
the entire
time.
That's what I'm saying, is that they are always going to try to win hockey games. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be the, we're going for Gavin McKenna in the draft. That's not going to happen. So it's hard for me to imagine them moving off of a goalie that helps them win games to go turn to a rookie unless the package was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, wouldn't they just let him walk? Would they need to get, like, do you need to get a package back for UC Soros? I'm just not sure you do. I think that they play it out. They go into the deadline. And if they're there, they go, maybe make us a Godfather offer, but I don't see them moving it. And if they don't, then they just run them out. And
I mean, that's the perks of being in Nashville versus Toronto.
For sure.
Where it's just like, yeah, we can do this.
For sure. But he's going to want 8+ a year. And I don't know how I would feel about paying eight plus for Soros.
Yeah, not to do natural predators talk here, but I was just looking at the playoff history. They're in the playoffs all the time.
Yeah, dude. That's like, what I'm saying. They don't miss.
Since their first four seasons in the league, they've been in the playoffs every year except one.
But this is what I'm saying about this offseason, them trading him.
Yeah.
It would be fairly strange to me to be going to like an unproven commodity unless they had a different strategy. And then the other thing too is, what is going to happen with the Bruins?
Yeah, like, there's just no shot that they're trading not to the Leafs.
But I'm just going like right now too. Okay, you just saw what the price was for Markstrom. Why would you trade UC Soros for that?
Yeah, they're like, that was an idiot trade. Yeah, they go,
hey, thanks. You know, you just proved to us that guys are buying those goaltenders for cheap. Mm-hmm. They're kind of in a similar class, Markstrom and Soros. I don't view them as worlds apart. I like Soros a little more.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at Askarov's numbers here. He's a first round pick. He's 22. He's 6'3".
Yeah, but 22 is so young for a goalie, man. I don't think you're throwing his feet in the fire.
Like, they could even give Soros like a 2 or 3 year contract with a big AAV and like pair them together and just kind of.
Hey, you don't have to move. You're gonna live here. Nashville will pay you.
Talk me to that one. I got nothing now, buddy. Yeah, here we go. Brassois time.
I was going to say, if Boston makes the Ullmark trade with you, then you can also write down in pen, Ullmark sucks.
Oh, no question. And the first round pick you give up for him is turning into the next star of the Bruins for 15 years.
You almost can't do that trade if you're the Leafs.
Of course not.
Like, you can't do another goaltender trade with Boston.
Oh, yeah.
The last time you did it.
Didn't work out too hot.
It was one of the worst trades in the history of the franchise.
No question. You're right. I think Ullmark's a good goalie.
Ullmark getting the Raykov treatment would be like too funny if people started wearing this jerseys behind the net.
I don't know if this is more of a...
You wouldn't get allowed into the stadium now, I think, like modern day. No, you know how, remember those guys that stood behind the net with like Ray Suck?
And, yeah.
Like, Ray Soft jerseys.
Yeah, that would be allowed now.
I don't think that you could get in.
It's funny because the only thing I think of when I think of Ullmark...
Yeah.
Is clearly he won the Vezina and he was very good last year for them. And he was good again this year.
Nah, he's a fake Vezina winner.
But you know what the funniest part about it is? Yeah. I can't get by that. I was praying for him to start games in the first round.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
Right?
No, there's no way.
And it's like, I was just like, please start Ullmark.
Trying to beat.
And the only game, and he was excellent in that game. Trying to beat
Boston with the backup they chose to move off of. The older guy.
Yeah.
As they play the kid that you passed on in the draft.
But I defend that one. Ian Scott had pedigree. He was the best goalie in the CHL. He was a pedigree guy.
He was a all-time what if.
Yeah.
And if you like, follow it close, because he got hurt.
Yeah.
But he was a stud. And he was playing like a stud.
So that's why, I mean, they got him in the fourth round. It's one pick later. No. Clearly is awful. It's a leafy thing.
But yeah, same.
It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Well, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
We think the team's coming back the same, but maybe plus Jake DeBrusk. And the goaltending situation is looking dire.
Sick.
No pressure, Brad.
Leafs talk's gonna rule next year.
Please do something for Leafs talk, dude.
I like doing a Leafs talk next February, where it's just Marner against like the Blue Jackets.
Yeah,
it's just my nightmare right now. The thought of that just sends shivers up and down my spine. But we can't. I honestly like have fear of doing the shows where he's unsigned. And all year, it's going to be, especially with Kipper, like it's going to be the number one conversation the entire time about how he's unsigned, how the price tag's going up with every point. We did it with Willie.
No, you can't.
They paid him at the peak of his power. And he's a good player and like clearly, but you know, it's a terrifying thing to go into next year.
I just think that the first sign of bringing back Shanahan, like the idea that it's still acceptable.
I know.
Why would you think that they're not going to look at the core four and go, yeah, it still looks like, why would you think like they're not going to put the screws to Marner? Because if they would have, it would have happened already.
But the great what if, and one that I always talk about, is that I really do think if Kyle Dubas had stayed,
he would have traded
Marner last year before it kicked in.
Yeah.
And last year was obviously the summer to trade him. And I don't blame.
I love it. That's where we're so broken now that people are going like, even the most anti-Dubas guys are like, if Dubas stayed, the team would be in better shape.
I don't blame Treliving because he came in in a whirlwind. It was a week. He can't trade Marner in a week.
I argue with this with Myrtle all the time whenever he's critical of tree living and he's like, well, it's the same
as he's supposed to do.
What do you want him to do? He couldn't even be on the draft floor.
It's crazy.
He came in and Shanahan was like, I already told all my sweet candy babies that they're going to be back on the team this year.
The sweet candy baby.
You can't be at the draft. And we got no depth at center. We got no blue liners.
But then
you
we got
fix
our
the power
best
play.
Draft pick we've had in 10 years. So.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks, Dubas.
So anyway, subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. And follow the other shows too, because we'll try to pop some stuff in the feed and we'll be doing stuff as the Leafs make moves through a free agency here in the Leafs Talk feed as well. Follow JD Bunkus podcast if you just listen to Leafs Talk. Follow Real Kipper Inborn. We'll try to put as much into the feed as possible. But yeah, we got loaded stuff going on free agency day on July 1st. Mm-hmm. I've got some packed shows the next couple of weeks in terms of it's going to gear up a lot towards some Leaf stuff. This is now Leaf season. As soon as the Stanley Cup closes, it's going to basically pivot immediately into a lot more Leaf stuff before the summer hits. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.